I'm speaking with Max Gabler. Max, can you tell me why you personally became involved in BAWA?
I had been in San Francisco immediately prior to the General Assembly in Cleveland in the spring of 1968. I was there for the very happy purpose of receiving an honorary degree from Starr King. And at that celebration, I met two people, one of them Herman Griffin of the San Francisco congregation, the other Betty Seiden, then a member of the Berkeley Church, both of whom were black and both of whom felt very threatened by the black caucus and the steamroller tactic which they identified as characteristic of the caucus's efforts at that point. Frankly, I had not taken the caucus very seriously up to that time. I was totally unprepared for what in fact happened at Cleveland, and it was my contact with Herman Griffin and Betty Seiden that led me to feel that here were blacks, who black Unitarians, loyal members of our churches, who also needed to have some of their white comrades standing with them. And I think my motive in Cleveland was strictly that, initially, of standing with black Unitarian Universalists who felt they were being rolled over by a steamroller, who felt they were being ignored, and worse, were being worked on to in all kinds of ways, with all kinds of pressure tactics, and who were standing up to this with astonishing courage, and they needed to have people standing with them, too.
Max, what difference did that whole event and what followed it make in your life?
There were several differences that the whole experience made. In the first place, most immediately, it resulted in a feeling of some isolation and even alienation from the denomination at large. I remember saying on a number of occasions that my primary reference group became my colleagues in BAWA. It was no longer the UUA, certainly not the Ministers Association. I simply felt the tensions were so deep, that the alienation had gone so far, that the lack of trust, the lack of genuine interchange, of honest interchange between people, with the idea of listening to each other and trying to understand each other, that this had been so seriously breached that I had the feeling that the only place I was totally accepted as a Unitarian Universalist was in the context of BAWA. The other thing that I would have to say is that from my point of view as minister in a university town where two-thirds of our congregation is made up of university-related people, the whole experience in the denomination had to be understood in the context of what was going on in terms of conflicts on the campus. And what was going on there, it seemed to me, was that the liberal leadership on the campus, the very people who, whether from the university administration or the ranks of faculty or students, were the very people who had attempted to maintain academic freedom, who had attempted to create more opportunities for minority students. It was precisely these people who were the object of attack by the demonstrators. Our own church, as a matter of fact, it was very interesting. We had at Cleveland in 1968, for one of the few times ever, a full complement of delegates present. And even without any prior consultation, without any attempt to develop a group position, all of us wound up on the same side. We all voted with BAWA. Interestingly enough, that whole era, not just the black empowerment controversy within our denomination, but that whole era, the controversies within the denomination and on the university campus, left me with a feeling of some disillusionment and some distancing. For some years thereafter, I was quite uncomfortable coming to national general assemblies, except for the fact that I found all my friends in BAWA. It was a kind of an in-group within the larger group. And as in the course of the next couple of years, things went better for us from our point of view. It became a lot easier to come to GA. At the time, it was certainly difficult. And I'll never forget particularly in Boston in 1969. This was the absolute nadir of the whole controversy. At that time, the very name of the people who walked out of our assembly, the name they chose to call themselves a moral caucus, was reminiscent to me now of Jerry Falwell and the moral majority. People who feel that they have morality on their side, they have the pipeline to God, and that the rest of us are somehow cast out in outer darkness. And it was this kind of feeling that was very strong in my own experience in those days. And it was a long time before I got back to feeling totally at home, even in my own family, my own denominational family. I guess I would look upon it as a perhaps necessary, but certainly a tragic interlude in our life. This turned us backwards and in unproductive and divisive directions until the rather recent past. We've been regathering our energies and once more seem to be able to be focusing on common goals.
Could you talk some more about the future that you see?
You mean the future in terms of the issue of black empowerment?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that we're now approaching it in much more realistic and genuine ways, not as a kind of symbolic issue, but as a genuine programmatic concern. I'm as concerned as anyone to see to it that we somehow or other manage to diversify the ranks of our denomination more than we've succeeded in the past. I do not think it's an easy challenge. I think it's an extremely difficult matter with enormously complex dimensions, but we'll only make progress by looking at those issues in the most realistic possible ways, trying to analyze what really is going on, what we really can do. There may be some things we can't do, and if that's the case, we have to recognize and acknowledge it. But certainly there are no easy fixes, and it isn't a matter of people being either moral or immoral or on the right side or the evil side.